How do you do? The following story is like a modern-day fairy tale. But there are truths hidden in fairy tales. Good triumphs over evil. Love wins over hate. The woman in this story lived in her native Thailand, like Cinderella fighting to survive, hoping for marriage to the man she loved, which happened when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Ma'a, do something! Pat is hanging out the bedroom window, yelling terrible things about me.
Oh, she lost her mind again, poor thing.
Poor thing? You should hear what she's saying. She hates me.
Ma'am, you're the youngest daughter and you have a marriage proposal before she does.
Do something.
What can I do? It's my fault she go insane now and then. I didn't let her marry the boy she loved. I'll never do that again. Alex's parents invited us to discuss marriage arrangement.
But I don't love him, Ma'a. Should I marry a man I don't love?
Shining the light of the world into the growing darkness, this is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Some people look at the homeless and think they are losers. But a great man once said, "Judge not according to the appearance." What's in the heart is more important than what's on the body. Even so, Pacific Garden Mission offers fresh clothing to those who come to the mission seeking help. The old lighthouse also gives nourishing meals and a safe place to sleep, as well as medical and dental care to resident guests, all without charge. Thanks to generous friends who send financial gifts, the mission provides shelter to hundreds of men, women, and children each day. The chance to start fresh. Pastors and counselors share the good news that many receive with joy and afterward abstain from all appearance of evil. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3198 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello?
Alec. It's Mem.
Mem? How nice to hear your voice.
Alec, I called to tell you that our relationship is over. I'm a Christian, and you have made it clear to me that you will never share my faith. Please don't call or visit me because I do not want to see you or talk to you again.
I cannot bear this, Mem. Do you have any idea the risk you are taking? If I can't see you again, I may kill myself.
If you kill yourself, that is your choice. But I still do not want to see you again.
I hate Jesus for making you do this. I hate God. I hate the church. I hate everyone who is a Christian, and I hate...
The woman in our story was only 20, had left Buddhism for Christianity, but still battled pride and selfishness. This is the conclusion of her story, the true testimony of Mem Luton, right now on Unshackled.
I had professed faith in Christ when I was 12, but after 4 years and some bitter experiences, I had drifted away from the faith. My older sister Pat suffered bouts of insanity, my older brother Chai often abused me and beat me, and Ma'a seemed powerless to intervene. My older sister Kali, who had led me to faith, had gone to America with her husband, and the American missionary I loved, who mentored me, went home. Feeling abandoned, I drifted to the way of the world with my friends. Alec's love was tempting, especially as he sought my hand in marriage. His family invited Ma'a and me to their home in the south of Thailand, where they treated us royally.
Alec's family has offered a handsome dowry for you, ma'am. Their rubber plantation must be very prosperous.
It is.
The dowry is a great compliment to your virtue. They offer me a house and property, but I honestly believe you could do better than Alec.
He's not a believer, and I don't love him, Ma'a. He told me he would never become a Christian. What did you tell Alec's parents?
That you need to finish college first.
I was grateful to Ma'a for her wisdom in delaying marriage to Alec. She sensed the spiritual battle that oppressed me, something for which she was partly responsible when she forbade me to spend time with Boone, a godly woman who mentored me in the faith after Brian, the missionary, left. I still went to church, but rarely read the Bible. Then, unexpectedly, my older sister, Kali, who had led us to Christ, returned to Bangkok for a visit.
You've grown up, ma'am, but such dark clothing.
Yes, I feel that way, Kali.
Are you dating someone?
Yes, but he's not a Christian.
You can tell me the whole story, even if you're pregnant.
I've never been with a man like that, Kali. I'm a virgin. Maybe that's why Alec wants to marry me.
You know what you need to do then, don't you?
Yes, but I can't seem to break off with him. I know I shouldn't see him because he's rejected Christ.
Let me pray with you.
Okay.
Lord God, your word says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Father, I ask you to help my sister come against the forces that keep her from following you. Set her free, Lord. Fill her heart and mind with your word so she can follow you.
After she prayed with me, I felt liberated from the sinister feelings that infused my relationship with Alec. God had protected me from harm, and I knew that I had to end the relationship. But how? I felt spiritually weak. I had to trust in the Lord as I made the phone call. But Alec didn't give up. He traveled from his plantation in the south to Bangkok, where Ma'a protected me.
Alec, what are you doing here?
I have to see Mem.
I told you yesterday she doesn't want to see you.
I'll wait out here until she comes out.
She already left for class.
I'll wait.
For hours, Alec stood in the rain, weeping and waiting to see me. Then he left and never returned. My sister Pat continued to heap invectives on me at a time when I desperately needed affirmation. But I no longer had friends at church, except for Doc, who taught Sunday school and lived nearby. I would sometimes leave the house to spend time with him when my brother Chai came and threatened me. Doc gave me what I wanted, but not what I needed. Lots of flattery. He also dumped his girlfriend and proposed marriage. About that time, my sister Kali called from America with a different offer.
Ma'am, are you still in the university?
Yes, barely.
What do you mean?
I'm running out of money. I'll have to work an extra job to pay tuition.
A new Bible college is starting in Bangkok? It would be a 3-hour bus ride to get there. But if you want to enroll, our ministry will pay the tuition.
Does your husband agree?
It was his idea. I'll let you talk to him if you're interested.
I'd love to go. This was to be a life-changing event in my life, followed by more startling news. The American missionary, Brian, who had tutored me in math, English, and the Bible, was returning to Bangkok. He had been gone 5 years, and I didn't expect to see him again. Though he was everything I admired in a man, and I had kept his picture all those years. I was now a young woman of 21 and hoped that Brian would notice. He noticed, but unfortunately, Boone, who was closer to his age, had invited him to Thailand, hoping to gain his attention too. Acting as his translator, she went with him everywhere. One day, he took a group of us to a park where he taught.
As you mature in faith, be careful to grow strong in God's grace. Do you remember Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, which says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord?
By grace, through faith.
That's right. And that is to be the way we walk in him. Remember, it is impossible to live the victorious Christian life apart from God's grace, as we walk by faith in humble obedience to his word, one day at a time. Study God's word and hide it in your heart. Remember Jesus' words in Luke, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it."
Many single girls vied for Brian's attention, but he remained focused on the Lord. He counseled, spoke at Sunday services and a weekend retreat that Boone arranged for the group at a camp near the edge of the Burmese border. My mother didn't want me to go, but I wanted to be with Brian. Because of space limitations, Boone instructed me to travel with two men I didn't know and wait at the camp till the rest of the group arrived. I protested, but Boone insisted. The driver left me at camp with a man who wasn't a Christian. I mentioned it later to Doc, who continued to follow me around, even though I had turned down his proposal.
He tried to come in the cabin with you?
Yes, but I found a knife and kept him outside.
I wish I had been here.
It's Boone's fault. She insisted I go with those men because there wasn't room in the flatbed truck.
There was room?
She just wanted to be with Brian.
All you talk about is Brian. He didn't stand up for you.
He doesn't speak Thai and didn't know what Boone was doing. Brian spoke during the retreat about the Lordship of Christ and chose to ride with all of us in the back of the flatbed truck, rather than in the comfort of the cab on the trip back to Bangkok. He had come to teach us discipleship, but petty jealousies had undermined much of his efforts. He sensed the ongoing competition for his affection and confided in me before leaving for America that he thought that God wanted him to remain single the rest of his life. I went home and cried. Brian's time in Thailand came to an end.
He's leaving tomorrow. I had hoped he would propose to you before he left.
He made it clear to everyone that he thinks that God wants him to remain single.
I'm very sorry, ma'am. I know how much you love him.
He's everything I admire in a man. Anyway, I want to see him off at the airport. Ma'a went with me by taxi to take Brian to the airport. Once again, he was out of my life, apparently for good. Soon I would start Bible college, but first I had to break up with Doc, who was definitely not the kind of man I wanted to marry. He was scheming, dishonest, and arrogant, all of which were displayed when I told him we had to stop seeing each other. He wouldn't take no for an answer.
No girl dumps me. I'm the one who dumps them.
If that's the case, consider yourself dumped for the first time.
Oh, if you break up with me, I'll tell your mom, everyone at church, and everyone at Bible college that you slept with me.
That's a lie, and you know it.
I will ruin your reputation.
Do what you want. Nothing will ever make me want to be with you.
Shortly, we'll hear the rest of Mem's story. Peace on earth seems more elusive than ever. But peace in your heart is possible in the midst of turmoil and uncertainty. Learn about that in our Gospel of John Bible Study, a correspondence course of 6 lessons that you may have at no charge. All 6 lessons are completely free. Simply write and ask to begin the study. Each lesson centers around a theme from the Gospel of John, like salvation or the abundant life. Each lesson has a list of questions with references from the Gospel of John. You will discover that the answers apply to your own life and those you know. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I spent most of my time now reading God's Word and experiencing deep convictions and adoration for my Creator. My salvation became the most significant aspect of my life. I repented of my sins and wept openly as I considered my offensive attitudes of pride, rebellion, and self-sufficiency. I saw their ugliness in light of the Lord's love for me at the cross, and I prayed, giving my heart and my will to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. I felt unshackled and totally free as I rejoiced in God's forgiveness. I also began making restitution to those I had wronged. I had prayed for years that God would change conditions in my home. Instead, God began changing me, especially in regard to my sister, Pat.
So, do you think that going to Bible college will make you any better? You're nothing, ma'am. You always been nothing. Nobody in this family wanted you since the time you was born. You're skinny and ugly. And just because you dress up don't mean anybody is ever going to want you. You never even had a blessing when you were born. So get in there and clean up the kitchen.
Instead of protesting, this time I quietly complied. I offered to wash her feet, but she demanded more, that I perform sawadi, bowing to her feet as would be expected of a slave. I complied, thinking of God's word which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It was only after I humbled myself in obedience to God's words that I was approached with an offer of a dorm room at college, paid by scholarship, saving me hours of commute time. I learned to be obedient to God's words, and he showed me how he'd bless my obedience to him. I continued to place Brian's picture on my desk. The first day of class, I met James, a 31-year-old American who was teaching at the international school and taking classes at Bible College. In time, James pursued a relationship with me, so I called Ma'a for advice.
He wants to marry you.
Yes, Ma'a. He said the Lord told him I was the girl for him.
Well, he's very impressive, ma'am. He speaks our language well.
Yes.
And he must be very wealthy because he takes us out to dinner at a 5-star hotel.
His father is a doctor in America. His mother is a teacher.
You have my blessing, ma'am.
But I don't love him, Ma'a. I have no peace about this.
I don't understand. He's handsome, wealthy, and he's a Christian. What more do you want?
James and I saw each other daily, and I liked him more and more. He gave me a beautiful diamond ring and insisted that I keep it even though I had not accepted his proposal. He offered my mother a house and financial support as long as she lived. But I had no peace about marriage to him, so I delayed by asking him to speak with my sister Kali's husband, since I had no father. My brother-in-law overwhelmingly favored James, but I still had no peace, so I called Brian. I mentioned nothing about James.
What's going on, ma'am?
Since I started Bible College, I've had some confusion and conflicting advice about God's will for my life and need some counsel.
God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Go to the Lord, ma'am. Write down these verses and meditate on them. Ready?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. The Bible says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Isaiah wrote, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever."
I meditated on those verses and had my answer. From then on, I had a quiet assurance. James and I continued to spend time together, but I was also blossoming at college. Because of my English skill, I became a translator for evangelistic outreach, and a permanent staff position became more certain. I could help Ma'a financially without marriage. No one knew how much I loved Brian and had sustained that love for more than 5 years. Before making a final decision to marry James, I again called Brian.
I heard you have an engagement ring. I'm happy for you, ma'am.
Yes. He says the Lord told him I'm the girl for him.
Do you love him?
I like him a lot.
You don't sound very convinced. What are your feelings toward me?
Well, what are your feelings toward me?
I love you very much, ma'am. I always have. But I couldn't propose marriage until I was sure that you knew your own heart.
I've always loved you, Brian. No other man has ever measured up to you.
I've never asked any girl to marry me, but I'm asking you now, ma'am. I want the responsibility of being a husband to you. I want to be your spiritual leader, your best friend, your provider and protector, as well as your lover. Would you be willing to accept me as your husband?
You told him to ask your brother-in-law.
He's my covering, Ma. Brian said so years ago.
But I know you love Brian. Why didn't you say yes?
Don't worry. I will say yes.
And what are you going to do about James?
Tell him the truth and return his ring. Not everyone was delighted. James refused to be friends, tried to get the college pastor to intervene, and ultimately threw the diamond ring into the sea. My sister Kali reminded me that she didn't give me permission to marry Brian, but I told her that Ma'a did. Brian and I studied a marriage counseling book together over the phone and planned our wedding for that August, after I finished Bible college. Brian arrived July 4th with my engagement ring, and the next 2 weeks were a whirlwind of activities. Then, with only 2 days till we left, came a setback.
I can't believe it. No fiancé visa. Because the embassy hasn't received FBI clearance from Washington yet.
And we're scheduled to leave in less than 2 days.
The official said it takes from 7 to 10 days to get FBI clearance, and the embassy just sent the forms out 4 days ago. We can't leave without the visa. It'll be hard to change the flight at the height of tourist season.
What are we going to do?
I can't believe that God would bring us this far to fail, ma'am. Let's pray. Lord, I acknowledge your sovereignty in all of this. You have commanded us to give thanks in all things because you work all things out for our good because we love you. Even though I don't feel very thankful right now, I choose to thank you and trust you.
Hello?
Ma'a, it's Mem. I wonder if the embassy called today?
Yes, just a few minutes ago. They said your FBI clearance arrived after normal closing time and the visa will be ready to pick up tomorrow.
Our last day!
The embassy said you shouldn't wait in line. Just go to the front window and give your name. They don't remember anybody getting clearance this fast.
Praise God! Thank you, Jesus! We flew to Akron, Ohio, Brian's home, and were married there in a small ceremony. Our honeymoon was the happiest time of my life. Brian's mother was a model of godly character, and I felt that I belonged to her. She solved a great mystery as to why God had protected me so many times. She told me that she prayed every day for Brian's future wife from before he was born, then gave up when he turned 50, the same year I drifted away from the Lord. But God is faithful.
Did you call your mother today?
Yes, she is fine. But Alec's mother is not. She has cancer and is not expected to live long.
Oh, and she doesn't know the Lord.
Not at all. Would you mind if I call her and pray with her? At least share with her the gospel message that Jesus died to save her?
Go ahead, ma'am. I'm very proud of you.
I called and spoke with Alec's mother. Then she told me that Alec was there and put him on the phone before I could decline.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Surprised to be talking to you.
Are you happy being married?
Very happy. Brian is very good to me and we love each other deeply. How are you?
After we broke up, I married our girl and fathered a child. Then I discovered she was having an affair. She took our child and left me. I'm devastated, ma'am.
I'm so sorry, Alec.
Tell me about your Jesus. He means so much to you. I am interested.
It's beautifully simple, Alec. Jesus is God's only son who became a man and died to pay the penalty for our sin. Sin is acts against God. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We can't do anything about our sin, so God sent Jesus to pay the penalty. He died on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day. He lives to save you now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would you like to receive this gift that God is offering you and pray today?
How do I pray? I have a pencil and paper. Tell me the words so I can pray them tonight.
Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins against you and I trust in your finished work on the cross for my salvation. Please come into my life as I surrender my heart and life to you alone. Amen. Brian encouraged me to call the next day to see if Alec had followed through. He had. I gave Alec the name of a good church in his vicinity and contacted a pastor friend of mine to follow up with him. I realized that being obedient to God and ending the relationship had been important to God's plan for Alec's salvation. 3 years into my marriage to Brian, God gave us a daughter. We had been married 5 years and had 2 daughters when my sister decided to close the ministry in Bangkok. So Brian and I went there to help Ma'a and my sister Pat find homes. I contacted a pastor friend and his wife to help, and I moved my sister to her new home.
I really appreciate what you're doing for me, ma'am.
I'm happy to help you, Pat.
Ma'am, I'm really sorry about the mean ways I treated you. Will you please forgive me?
I already have. Like me, my sister had learned that the way up is down, humbly serving our Lord. We learn to walk by faith, not by sight. And truly, the Lord has been our shield. He has blessed Brian and me with 4 children to raise in the Lord, confirming his promise in Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, which says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." My greatest joy is the privilege of sharing the gospel with many others. God has brought people into my life from many different nations whom I have come to love because his love fills my heart for all whom God so loved that he sent Jesus to die for them.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Listening friend, are you free from the law of sin and death? There is only one way, through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Go to the cross and be saved. You can do that now, wherever you are, whatever you've done. Drop your pride, confess your sin, and ask Jesus to save you. There are no special words, because God looks on the heart and knows your sincerity. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3198. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know how these true testimonies impact your life, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.